When awarding a competitively bid contract on past performance, you better make sure you look carefully at references the bidders provide. Immigration and Customs Enforcement found this out the hard way. It lost a protest when a services contractor complained ICE didn't do its due diligence on past performance. The Government Accountability Office agreed. Well, in this week's Legal Loop segment, we get more on the lessons learned in this case from procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so give us the background on this case. What was ICE buying in this case and from whom?
Well, this is a purchase of support services for the program that certifies educational institutions and makes them qualified to participate in the student visa program. It was a procurement under the Federal Supply Services MOBIS contract, and competitive proposals were solicited and reviewed by the agency. There were two finalists. One of them, the losing bidder, was CPS Professional Services, and they protested. And they attacked the procurement on a wide variety of issues, but one of them, the past performance evaluation.
Okay, and so past performance is evaluated in what manner?
Well, in this case, you were supposed to supply relevant past performance examples, and they would be evaluated for how well you performed on those examples. Each offeror provided several examples, and the awardee had two responding references. Both of them were excellent. But one was for a project that was considered of lesser relevance. The protester had four responding references, ranging from good to excellent, but two of them were considered very relevant. And that was basically a subcontract for two of the SOW tasks. That was the difference between them. The agency looked at this and they decided, well, they're equal technically, and we think that they're both low risk in past performance. So they went with the lower priced offeror.
So that gets pretty subtle because both bidders were able to provide two excellent examples. Only in one of the cases, both excellents were relevant to the work being performed. And in one case, one of the excellents was good for that agency that provided the reference, but it wasn't all that similar to the work that would be done by for ICE.
Yeah, I think the basic difference here was the degree of relevance of the examples, and GAO thought that the more relevant ones should have been given more weight by the agency. And they didn't see anything in the record that indicated that the agency had considered that, so they upheld the protest. This is a kind of an interesting protest in that regard because it does seem like the two offerors were very close, but the GAO felt that this is the way they should have gone about resolving that closeness.
And so what happened? Did the losing bidder then get the CPS Professional Services get the higher-priced work after all, or did they go back and look again at past performance?
Well, it's been sent back to the agency to reevaluate in light of GAO's ruling, so we don't really know who's going to win at this point. But there's been an interesting commentary on this decision by Professor Ralph Nash of GWU Law School. And he seems to think that the differences in past performance here, which GAO felt were meaningful, really were, quote, fine distinctions, unquote, and that they really didn't say a whole lot about which had the better offeror. He felt, and I think this makes a lot of sense, that when you look at past performance reviews, they tend to be subjective. And different people may have somewhat different feelings about the standards that are applied. And so you've got an element of imprecision in there where looking at them too closely maybe isn't warranted. And on top of that, you've also got another factor, which is, offerors can provide references to the agencies, but they've got no control over which of those references actually responds back to the agency with the questionnaire, if that's how the agency goes about gathering information. So there's this element, this random, haphazard element of who's actually responding to the past performance evaluation questionnaire that makes the data even more unreliable in a sense.
I guess in the case of past performance, there are a lot of aspects of performance. One was, were things done on time and within budget? But then the other part of it, were things done correctly? Was it the right technology or the right outcome? Because you could have one without the other.
Well, absolutely. And there are generally, you know, separate ratings given in each of those areas. But at the end of the day, the rating scale is, you know, how well did they do? Were they adequate? Were they excellent? Were they, you know, adjectives like that. And there's a necessary element of subjectivity there. In addition, there's a different way of looking at relevance, which DOD proposes or suggests in its guidance on past performance, and that is that relevance is a threshold examination. In other words, you determine whether a reference is relevant or not. If it is, you count it. You don't then go into a further qualitative examination of how relevant it is, and that's sort of where GAO is coming out here on this bid protest.
So
it's confusing.
It is. We're speaking with procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Washington. And so I guess the other question I would have is, suppose two sets of references are both roughly relevant, maybe one's even a little bit more relevant. What if the price differential was huge and the one that had the less relevance in its past performance was much, much, much cheaper? I mean, agencies are also supposed to work in a risk management framework. So it would seem in that case the difference in cost would be worth the risk of posed by the irrelevance or the degree of irrelevance of the reference.
Well, that's one of the really odd things about this of this decision. I mean, in that instance, presumably the agency's discretion as to whether or not, you know, the difference in risk is worth the difference in price, presumably the agency's got some latitude in making that determination. Here, we've got a situation where the two offerors were really quite close. And you would think that where, you know, that would bring the decision into a gray area where an agency would have perhaps more discretion about how it determines who the award is. It would probably be rational to have, you know, to pick either of these two offerors. Instead, GAO seems to be forcing the agency to slice the data more and more thinly to try to determine who noses someone else out, as if this was some kind of horse race with a photo finish. And you know, they may be torturing the data into a more exactitude than it can really bear. I mean, there are decisions that turn on that issue, whether or not the measurements tools that are being used in the evaluation provide the level of exactness that the agency seems to be relying on, and this decision seems to ignore that problem.
And I guess in some sense, the more data you put in there, the more justification you put in there, the more spreadsheet approach you take to evaluating past performance, the more there is for the losing protester to find some small sell on and attack on that one.
Well, if that's what GAO is going to be looking for, an objectively outcome determinative evaluation, then I suppose we're all going to have to get out our magnifying glasses and look at the fine details here. It's an interesting decision, and it I think puts agencies in a quandary. Do they try to exaggerate differences between offerors, or are they willing to risk exercising their discretion and judgment and having that subjected to examination?
And what do you think this might mean for contractors? Should you just throw as many references as possible at an agency in light of this?
Well, yeah, there's that, and I suppose you know, you should really follow up on the references you have in terms of, you know, making sure that they fill out their forms and send them back. Because that's going to be how you're going to be evaluated. And if the forms don't come in, it's as if they don't even, you know, the reference doesn't even exist.
In some ways, this case sounds like they are getting away from lowest price technically acceptable, because since they were both so close, then and the agency ICE went with the lower priced one, they were probably doing what everybody else is doing these days, which is lowest price technically acceptable.
Well, I mean, that's one of the confusing aspects of this. Usually, where the agencies are technically equivalent, and the ratings here look very, very close, price is the tiebreaker. Price is the determinative factor. But that wasn't the case here. GAO seemed to think that there were some distinctions lurking in the past performance evaluation that should be weighed against price.
All right. Well, I guess this line never stops moving. Joe Petrillo is a partner at Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom.